chamber door, there was a notice that Ryan had seen before. Up in the darks, where it had all begun for them. Entry absolutely forbidden to all but B-12 cleared personnel. Mat-Trans. This time there was no small room between the controls and the actual gateway. There was a massive door of vanadium steel at the far side of the room. Ryan took out the six-hour pistol, steadying it, his finger firm on the trigger.
Blaster's ready.
Everyone drew rifles or pistols and ranged around Carter as he reached for the door. In the humid heat, it felt cool to the touch. To the right was a green lever, pointing to the floor, with the word closed printed on it. Ryan grasped it and tugged it upward, toward the open position. When the door was only a couple of inches ajar, Ryan eased the lever back to the neutral position, pressing his good eye to the slit and squinting both ways along the corridor that ran outside.
Anything?
No, past the rad counter.
The armorer handed him a small device, like a pocket cron, that measured the radioactivity. It showed no more than a minor surface level. There were places scattered throughout the country where it would have howled out the danger. These hotspots were often near cities or towns where there had either been missile complexes or communication centers.
Safe.
Hennings was at his elbow as the door opened the rest of the way.
Fucking hot, Ryan.
Help sweat off some of Finn's fat.
Careful you don't get sunburned, Hen.
Cut it, you two. Come on. Keep tight and careful.
Nobody needed telling where to go. Ryan led the way as always. Then came Christy, light on her feet, two paces behind. Hennings was third in line. Doc, with an arm around Lori, was in the middle of the group. Finn was last but one, with JB bringing up the rear, about 10 paces behind everyone, constantly turning to check that nobody was trying to come up behind to cold cock them. The corridors were a pale cream stone, seamless, curving slightly to the right, about 4 paces wide and 12 feet high. Lighting was contained in recessed strips. There were no doors on either side.
Different. Is this a redoubt, Doc?
Perchance not, Mr. Corder. Not all of the gateways were built within the large storage redoubts.
The corridor wound on. Ryan's guess was that it was going to come a full 360 degrees. Every now and then they passed beneath what were obviously defensive barriers, locked away in the ceiling. And every 30 or 40 paces they walked under the cold gaze of small vid cameras, set in the angle between wall and curved roof.
Nobody?
Not a smell or sight of them.
There's nobody.
Sure?
Sure, lover.
In the century after the nuclear apocalypse, many parts of what had been the United States were disastrously contaminated by every form of nuclear poison. Chem clouds, bitter winter, acid rain, and lethal doses of radiation had all combined to produce a multitude of genetic mutations. Muties came in all shapes, sizes, and forms. In many cases, their names gave clues as to what they were like and how they acted. Stickies had strangely developed hands and feet that enabled them to grip almost any surface. They were hard to kill. Sensors were able to see into the future, mainly in a very limited and often inaccurate way. Doomies could only feel when some disaster was going to happen. They could rarely be specific, but their premonitions were generally correct. Crazies were, well, crazies were plain crazy. Christy was a kind of mutie. Ryan had found it difficult to handle when he first became aware of it, after they'd first made love. She had mixed talents. Her long hair was slightly sentient and seemed to move of its own volition. She could often sense trouble in a way that a doomseer could. Also, she had unusually keen sight and hearing. But her greatest attribute was generally hidden. Her late mother Sonia had always drilled into the girl the key phrase, strive for life. She had come from a settlement called Harmony, which had a reputation as a sanctuary, a term used to designate peaceful hamlets. Christy had been taught there by her mother, and by two good men, her uncle Tyus McCann and his friend Peter Maritza. They had taught her to respect the Earth Mother Gaia, as she was called, after the Greek goddess of the Earth. Though it exhausted her, Christy was capable of disciplining her mind and body to such an extent that she could unleash a terrifying physical strength. But it wasn't just humans that bred muties. In his 30 or so years, Ryan had encountered just about every kind of genetic perversion that a diseased mind could imagine. Fish and fowl, insects from the locked rooms of a dying nightmare, animals and snakes and birds, all distorted into obscene parodies of their original forms. Ryan believed that this odd circular redoubt was devoid of life. Christie just confirmed his suspicions. The air tasted clean and untouched. Once you'd smelled death, you never forgot it. Not ever. It was only about 3 minutes later that they reached what looked like the main doors. The corridor opened to a room about 10 paces square. The walls showed faint shadow shapes, squares, and rectangles, where pictures or notices had been hung. But the entire complex was clear. Whoever had been there when Armageddon came had done a good cleaning. Nothing remained, not even dust. It was all hermetically sealed, waiting for human beings to return. The walls around the doors were smooth and clean, lacking any kind of opening mechanism.
Oh, this ain't like the others. There's no control panel.
Any ideas, Doc?
I confess I'm baffled. The individual design of some of the gateways was outside the scope of the Cerberus people.
Blast it. Got some grins.
I suggest caution, Mr. Dix. Some of these main entry ports are highly sophisticated. If we were to fail to blow it open, then we might find we had permanently closed the building's only exit.
So, what do we do? Feels warmer here than anywhere.
Need to bring in fresh air every now and then. It's been going for 100 years, give or take. So some outside air and humidity leaks in. I'm of the opinion that the controls for this might be in some hidden master unit.
In the big fucking fire? That mean we can't get out?
Wait!
Lori pushed past them all and walked slowly, fearfully toward the dully gleaming great doors.
What you gonna do? Lean on it?
Can it, Dix? Looks like the kid knows something we don't.
About 6 feet from the portal, Lori hesitated, then took 2 more long strides forward. At first, nothing seemed to happen. Then, like a metallic giant unclenching his fists, the doors began to slide ponderously back, letting in a waft of humid air. The doorway was nearly 40 feet wide, and when the doors finally stopped moving, a stretch of corridor, around 200 paces in length, was revealed. At its end was a steel wall with an ordinary-sized door set in it.
Come.
Lori stepped briskly forward, followed by the others, with varying degrees of reluctance. On the right-hand wall, someone had neatly stenciled the word, Goodbye.
How'd you know to just walk up to it like that?
Back door out home. Quint show me. Earth slipped and covered it. Looked the same. Eyes see us and open door. Eyes of dead men.
Maybe booby trap, girl.
Hennings ran past her, stopping at the door and pushing cautiously at the handle.
Locked!
No.
Lori moved Hennings aside and took the handle in her right hand. She pulled it slowly toward herself. It was unlocked.
Son of a bitch.
Hen followed the tall blonde girl out into the daylight. Ryan came next, with the others at his heels. He stood on the threshold of the building, staring out. The light was oddly diffused, with shifting green shadows moving in the doorway. He drew a deep breath, filling his lungs, tasting the air, savoring it like a connoisseur. Ryan Carter had visited many parts of the continent. He had walked the cracked avenues of New York City, through the groves of whispering vegetation with poisonous flowers and berries on every corner. He had gazed across the oily brew of chemicals.